nothing. He was poor. He had no merits. He had no righteousness. He had nothing to bring to the table. He was poor. Am I giving your biography? Poor? You don't have anything about you that could recommend you to God. Now, not only was he blind, not only was he poor, not only was he the son of Timaeus, but he didn't work. He was a beggar. He was completely dependent upon the charity of somebody else. He was a complete beggar. He could not work. And I identify with this so much. If you give me one thing that I need to do, I don't care what it is, fill in the blank. You give me one thing that I need to do before God will have favor on me and have mercy on me, I have no hope. None at all. He did not work. And you know, we're only given one thing that he possessed. He possessed a filthy garment. That's the only thing we know that he had. This garment that he found security in, that he covered himself in. But when he came to Christ, he got rid of that garment, didn't he? I have a filthy garment made of filthy rags. The Lord tells us our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we know that the most outstanding thing about this man is he knew who Jesus Christ was. He knew he was the son of David. He knew he was the Lord. Lord. And that word Lord is Rabboni. It's only used twice in the New Testament. Once by Mary after the Lord revealed her after the resurrection. And then here by Bartimaeus. It's the title of highest respect. My great Lord. Oh, the high view he had of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next thing I know about Bartimaeus that our text lets us know about him, he came for the right thing, mercy. That is what he asked for, mercy. Now, let me tell you something about this thing of asking for mercy. You only ask for mercy when all your sin is all your fault. If it's somebody else's fault, you're not asking for mercy. You're asking for payment. You're asking for justice. But when your sin is all your fault, what you need is mercy. And when you ask for mercy, you only ask mercy of an absolute sovereign. You know it's in his hands to give or to withhold. And if he passes you by, just and holy is his name. That's the only way you ask for mercy. If you come for mercy thinking it's coming to you, that you can do something that makes you earn it, you know nothing of mercy. Now that's this man, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, blind, poor, unable to work. All he had was a filthy garment. But he knew who Christ was. And he came for the right thing. Now, let's consider this story. The Lord Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to die on the cross. That's why he came. He said, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, for this cause came I in to this hour. And he'd passed through Jericho. That's where he had met Zacchaeus. I love that story where he looked up at Zacchaeus in the tree. Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. Today I must abide at thy house. And he's on his way outside of Jericho with a large crowd following him. And there was a beggar named Bartimaeus who sat by the highway begging. Boy, I'd like to take his place, wouldn't you? Oh, I want this to be me. I want this to be my biography. The son of Timaeus, the son of uncleanness, the son of defilement, knowing that the only one who can do me any good is the Lord Jesus Christ. As Bartimaeus sits there begging, he hears a commotion. Luke's account tells us that when he heard the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. Someone said, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." He's passing by right now in the preaching of the gospel just as truly as he was then. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And immediately he began to cry, "Jesus, thou son of David," he knew who he was, "have mercy on me." Now, he knew what very few knew at this time, that Jesus was the Son of David, the Christ, the Messiah. Isn't that what saving faith is? Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Five times in the book of Isaiah, we read where Messiah would give sight to the blind. And I don't have any doubt that maybe from a youth, people felt sorry for him. They'd lead him into the synagogue. He'd sit down and hear the scripture read. And I have no doubt at some point he heard that Messiah would give sight to the blind. Five times in the book of Isaiah. It's in other Old Testament prophets as well, but five times in the book of Isaiah. And I'm sure that there were people who heard that and thought, "Boy, that's good. I'm glad that will happen." But you know, Bartimaeus heard it in a different way. You see, he was blind, and that registered to him. He knew that now, from a scriptural description, the Messiah, he's the one who would give sight to the blind. And he believed that at that time, maybe from a little boy, I don't know, but he had this scriptural description of the Messiah. This is where his information came from. It was from the Bible. He had this scriptural description of the Messiah that he would give sight to the blind. And that just stuck with him. That just resonated. The Messiah would give sight to the blind. Well, he was sitting on the wayside, I guess, every day begging. What else did he have to do? I mean, he would just go there. I don't know if he had a cup, but he'd sit there by the wayside hoping someone would throw some change his way or give him some money. He would hear people talk. He didn't. That was all he'd do is listen, you know. I mean, he'd find out what he could about the world and about what was going on. He'd hear people talk. And one day he heard some people talking about a man by the name of Jesus of Nazareth that gave sight to a man that was born blind. And right then he knew, that's the Messiah. That's the one the scripture speaks of. He knew that Jesus was the Christ. Now, he had not come in contact with him, but I bet he thought, if he ever comes by, if he ever passes this way, I'm going to cry out, "Jesus, thou son of David." He is the son of David. He gave sight to the blind. You know Christ by what he can do, what he did. He gave sight to the blind. That's how he identified him from the scriptures. Oh, if he ever comes by this way, I'm going to cry, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." You know, he probably heard others scoffing about Christ. He didn't scoff. He probably heard others say, "He's an imposter." He knew better than that. If he ever comes this way, if he ever passes by, I'm going to cry out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now, verse 47 of our text in Mark chapter 10. "And when he had heard Faith cometh by hearing. I love the concept of this thing of hearing. You know, hearing is the most passive thing in the world. You're not giving your ideas. You're not giving your thoughts. You're not giving your opinions of things. You're hearing what is said. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, Bartimaeus had ears to hear. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, I can't use the language that Bartimaeus used, I'm sure. I couldn't bring the depth of feeling in it, but how this must have sounded when he was crying out from the depths of his soul, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I know this much. He was crying out of a sense of need. He knew he was blind. He knew he couldn't give himself sight. He knew Christ could. And he's crying for mercy. Remember, when he's crying for mercy, he's saying, my sin is all my fault. And I'm not coming to you bargaining or demanding. I'm coming as an absolute sovereign. It's in your hand as to whether or not I'll have mercy. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Many charged him. You don't need to be talking this way, Bartimaeus. Hold your peace. Hold your peace. This is the wrong thing to do. You need to get certain things straightened out before you cry for this. You need to start doing this, and you need to stop doing that before you start doing this. You need to get your life straightened out. You can't just up and cry for mercy like this. This needs to be put in place, and that needs to be stopped, and start doing this, and all kinds of suggestions. You need to hold your peace and get these things straightened out. What did it do to Bartimaeus? You know, we're going to have people telling us, hold your peace on that. Hold your peace on that. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to be this way. You need to not be that way. You need to, before you can have mercy, there's certain things that are going to have to take place. You need to hold your peace and get this straightened out first. But what did that do with Bartimaeus? He cried the more. A great deal. It didn't stop him. You see, if you need mercy, nothing's going to stop you from crying. All the objections people will give to you, all the objections you'll come up with, they're not going to stop this cry for mercy. He cried the more. A great deal. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, I love to think of the strength of this man's faith. You know, my puny faith, when I'm told to hold my peace, I'll hold my peace. Maybe they're right. Maybe I'm wrong. But not Bartimaeus. He cried the more, a great deal, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49. And Jesus stood still. Now he had set his face as a flint, the scripture says, to go to Jerusalem. He was on his way to Jerusalem to go to the cross. And I don't have any doubt all kinds of people were calling his name. I mean, if you look in the next scene, chapter 11, they were saying, Hosanna to the highest. Hosanna to him that comes in the name of the Lord. All kinds of people were saying all kinds of stuff. And Jesus this, Jesus that. You know, somebody might have said, Lord, look at all the things I've done. Can I be in your kingdom? Look at the things I've stopped doing. Christ kept moving. Nothing stopped him. I can't imagine all the things people were saying to him, maybe even saying good things about him. But he kept moving. But there was something that stopped him in his tracks. This is the one thing that will cause him to take notice of me or you. When by his grace we cry for mercy. Jesus stood still. That stopped him. And if you or I cry for mercy, now remember, mercy is not bargaining with him. It's not asking, it's not trying to, Lord, I've done this, now do you do that. It's knowing you're in his sovereign hand and you cry for mercy. He always, without any exception, he always stands still. Every time. You know why? Because he delights in mercy. This is who he is. Do you know he delights? He loves to show mercy to people like Bartimaeus. That's who he is. Isn't he glorious? This is who he is. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Bring him to me. Oh, Lord, call me. Command for me to be called. I want to be in the same place as Bartimaeus. And if I'm a believer, this is where it is. He gives me the grace for it to ask for mercy. I cry for mercy. He stands still. He commands me to be called. Bring him here. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Now, were these the same people that were telling him to hold his peace? I don't know. They might have been. As a matter of fact, I kind of suspect that they were. But the point is, when he calls you, you have reason to be of good comfort and of good cheer. Rise, he calleth thee. Verse 50. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now, the only thing that we know of that this man owned was this garment. Now, put yourself as being without sight. Can you imagine how vulnerable you'd feel? I mean, you'd want to wrap yourself up in that garment. No, you wouldn't know. Problem being blind, he didn't know how dirty it was. He didn't know how filthy it was. But he felt so vulnerable. He felt so... he needed protection. He needed security. And that's all he had. And he would wrap himself up in that garment. That's the only thing this man possessed, that garment, which I have no doubt represents his filthy robe of righteousness. Filthy rags. That's what he tried to cover himself with. It's very similar to Adam and Eve covering themselves with those fig leaves. This was his covering. Would you turn with me for a moment to Proverbs chapter 28? Why did Adam and Eve make that garment of fig leaves to cover their sin? Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now that verse of Scripture used to give me such trouble because I never noticed that the word them is in italics. That means it was supplied by the translators. They're the ones who put it there. And I was afraid when I would read that verse of Scripture, for me to have mercy, I need to confess my sins and I have to quit committing them. I have to forsake them. And unless I forsake my sins, I will not have mercy. Now, shouldn't we forsake our sins? Yes. We should never sin again. But if mercy is dependent upon me forsaking some sin before I'll have mercy, you know what that is? Salvation by works. That's all it is. That's a complete misunderstanding of that passage of Scripture. Whoso confesseth his sins, now covering them like Adam did, you're not going to prosper. But whoso confesses, they take sides with God, they agree with God, and they forsake this thing of covering them. That's what it is to believe the gospel. You confess your sin, and you forsake this thing of trying to cover it up with your works, and you look to Christ only. That is the person who receives mercy. Now, what does Bartimaeus do? I think it's so glorious the way it's recorded that he had this old garment. But when he came to Christ, what's the first thing he did? It used to be so important to him. It used to give him security. But now it's a worthless thing he throws away. He doesn't want to have anything to do with anything like that. He throws off his garment in order to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He now sees it as a worthless thing. Now back to our text, Mark chapter 10. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now remember, I said this is every believer's biography. And every believer will have complete agreement here. Salvation is what he does in every respect. And that's what the Lord says. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now, you think about every aspect of salvation. Salvation is what he does. He stood as my surety before time began, and took full responsibility for my salvation. That's what he did. I didn't have any hand in that. And he came in time, assumed flesh, and kept the law for me. That's what he did for me. And he died for me, and put away my sins, and was raised again for my justification. And he is the one who gives me life. And he gave me faith. He gave me repentance. He's the one who preserves me. He's the one who intercedes for me and represents me. Even right now, salvation is what he does. And that is the testimony of every believer. Here's my testimony. My salvation is what he has done for me. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord. Now, this in the original is only used twice, Rabboni. You remember when Mary didn't recognize the Lord? She thought he was a gardener. She couldn't see him for who he was. And he said, Mary. And she saw him. And she said, Rabboni, my great Lord. Now everybody that knows him knows he is the great Lord. He's the Lord of creation. He's the Lord of providence. He's in control of everything that's happening, has happened, and ever will happen. Most especially, he's the great Lord of salvation. Lord. that I might receive my sight. This is what I know I don't have and cannot produce, and only you can give, that I might receive my sight. That's what he asked for. And you know, the Lord asked him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And his answer, that I might receive my sight. Verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way. You're set free. Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now that word made whole is the word that's generally translated saved. Thy faith hath saved thee. Now this is one of four times the Lord makes the statement, thy faith hath saved thee. And some people are so sound that they will say, well, he shouldn't have said it that way because it's not your faith that saves you, it's Christ that saves you. And that's true. That's true. Your faith is his gift, but it wasn't your faith that kept the law for you. Christ did. It wasn't your faith that died on the cross. Christ did. It wasn't your faith that was raised from the dead. Christ was. Your faith is not interceding for you at the right hand of the Father. Christ is. But the Lord still said, thy faith has saved thee. Evidently, it's a good thing to say. This is, as I said, one of four times that this word was used. He said it to the woman with the issue of blood, thy faith has saved thee. He said it to the woman who was a sinner, thy faith has saved thee. He said it to that one leper who returned to give glory to God. The others didn't, he did. And the Lord said, thy faith has saved thee. And he says to this blind beggar who is going to immediately receive his sight, go thy way, thy faith has saved thee. Now, I love the simplicity of this. What was his faith? That Jesus Christ is the Son of David, the great Lord. You see, faith is what you think of him, and everything else proceeds from that. Now, why does the Lord put such honor on faith? Because faith puts all the honor on him. If it doesn't put all the honor on him, it ain't faith in the first place. Faith looks to him only and gives him all the glory and salvation. And rest in who he is and what he did and nothing else. Faith alone. And that's why the Lord gives such honor to faith. It puts all, not most, but all of the honor of salvation upon him. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately, he received his sight. And what I think is glorious to think about, who you reckon the first person he ever saw was? The Lord Jesus Christ. First person he ever saw. And remember when the Lord said, go thy way? What did he do? He followed Jesus in the way. That was his way. That's what he wanted, to follow Jesus in the way. One last scripture, turn to John chapter 9. Verse 39. Now this is after he had given sight to one who had been born blind. Verse 39, and Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they would see might be made blind. If you can see why God would save you, you're under His judgment. If you can see, well, He'd save me because I've done this and I've done that. If you can't see anything in yourself as a reason why God would save you, you are an object of His mercy. He says this. For judgment, I am coming to this world that they would see not, might see, and that they would see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with Him heard these words and said unto Him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, what did He say next? You should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. What a terrifying thought to think of my sin remaining. But oh, what a glorious thought to think in Christ I have no sin. Now, this is every believer's biography, this thing of Bartimaeus. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank You for the gospel of Thy dear Son. Lord, we say with Bartimaeus, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Lord, cause us to fling away that filthy garment of our own righteousness and arise and come to Thy Son. Bless this message for Christ's sake. In His name we pray.